Welcome to Highly Questionable. We've got Bomani Jones. We've got Katie Nolan. Let's get started. We've got some sports news, but it's not going to be very high up on the show. We'll get to the sports news later. We'll talk about the big, broad societal stuff first. Let's get started.
Are you surprised Drew Brees hasn't changed his stance on kneeling?
All right, it should probably be noted for some sort of context here that Drew Brees is probably the most beloved athlete maybe in the history of New Orleans, and also he works in a very, very black city. And the things that he is saying on a finance show here with Yahoo, where he's talking about a football season that might not happen, and you see as the world burns that we are 3 years removed from Kaepernick, and Drew Brees is still wrapping this in a flag when Kaepernick was telling us to look at police brutality. Here's his answer to a question about whether guys will go on knees this year and how he would react to that.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. And that we are all part of the solution.
I can't believe that he has this many black teammates who have helped him throughout his career, and this is where he lands yet still on flag and anthem, when again, what we're talking about is not flag, anthem, or patriotism. What we're talking about is police brutality. But if you want to make it about the flag, let's go ahead and move the goalposts and make it about the flag. Let's do that here for the sake of Drew Brees, and let's agree that not all people look at that flag and see the same thing. That flag is over centuries of oppression. We were just hiding in our homes for a couple of months because of a disease that attacks the lungs, and this is the disease that has attacked America's heart for centuries. The homes are burning. Things are burning outside of where Drew Brees is talking. And the idea that he still wouldn't see it and would still wrap himself in the flag on this, when the silent protesters are respecting that flag and Colin Kaepernick is asking you, hey, please, police brutality, not the flag, not the anthem.
That almost looked like watching it, like he hit a switch on what the answer is when somebody talks about a flag, and he hadn't had a chance to go back and edit what happened when he talked about this stuff to accommodate for everything else that's going on in the world. Because you could see a moment where the switch goes on and he is in the zone, right? Like, this is exactly what we do when we talk about this thing. And he talks about his grandfather and everything else. The luxury I think that Drew Brees has is that he can say, I look at the flag and I think of my grandfathers who served, right? I look at the flag personally and I see the United States, right? He is able to idealize it and take it to a place where everything is as noble as it can possibly be. I'm not wired that way. That's just not the kind of dude that I am. So he's got to kind of understand that when people go look at that same flag, they might also think about their grandfathers. And some of people's grandfathers came back from wars in their uniforms and were still told you can't sit here, or in some cases got the hell beaten out of him. Like, there's got to be at some point a dude like that being able to look around and think about what other people are saying and what other people are saying, because the most arrogant part about that is the idea that his personal views when he sees the flag, right, his personal imagination under that circumstance must therefore be respected by every other person because that is what he sees. I'm honestly surprised that he's been able to be a unified figure on his team in the way that he has been, when apparently he has never had a meaningful conversation with anyone he has ever thrown a pass to.
Yeah, I mean, you can just tell by the fact that he went on a TV show or Yahoo Finance. I don't, is that TV or the internet? Whatever. He went on it and felt he needed to say what the flag means to him when asked a question about Colin Kaepernick and numerous other NFL athletes, letting him know what the flag means to them, as if his feeling towards the flag, like you said, Bomani, should just trump what everybody else feels about the flag. And to bring up your two grandfathers and say that's who you think of when you see the flag, while I understand and I'm not not discounting the emotion that you feel, Drew Brees, you have to understand that the image of your two grandfathers means something very different to a lot of people. And your two grandfathers lived in a time that doesn't look, or we would hope doesn't look, like it does now. And that's what the fight is for. And I've seen a lot of people change their stance on Kaepernick or say that they were wrong. Kendall Coyne, she's a female hockey player who came out against Kaepernick's protests for kneeling during the anthem, has said that she was wrong. It wasn't about the flag or the anthem, and she understands that now. I'm not saying she's the best. That's a start. I've seen a lot of people have that sentiment. So to have Drew Brees, who plays in a city like New Orleans, say that he's still steadfast in his belief that kneeling, a sign of respect during the anthem as a silent protest, offends him, is absolutely bad.
Well, just think about it this way. He had a more strident opinion about the way that somebody behaves during a song than he did about this dude getting leaned on to death for 9 minutes, right? Like, when it came time to talk about what's going on in the world, and we could say that that is a kind of a point that's a proxy for everything that's happening outside. When it got to that, he did a shrug and some variation of the yada yada. But when somebody talked about this thing that was going on 4 years ago, he jumped right back into the moment like it was the Super Bowl.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
You're not going to convince that man that he ever had it easier than anybody else, because all he knows is how hard it was that he had it.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Will Dabo's inaction towards Danny Pierman's racism affect the Clemson juggernaut?
Okay, some of this backstory here, if you're not familiar with it, is the Clemson players heard an assistant coach use the N-word in, and there is a bit of context here, he was repeating it in front of his team rather than, for example, just calling someone that. But regardless, that assistant coach has now apologized, and Dabo Swinney is in the middle of it. And I wanted to get Bomani's thoughts here, because Katie and I were both impressed by a thread on Twitter that he had where he sort of gave context for who Dabo is and how he would arrive at his particular worldview. Bo, can you share that with the audience?
Yeah, no, I've always said about Dabo Swinney, you got to realize this is a dude who grew up poor in Alabama, like the kind of poor that when he went to college, he shared a bed with his mother. He's a walk-on wide receiver who wound up getting playing time on a national championship team. He was going to go sell real estate, and then somebody says, hey, why don't you come in here into coaching, and then grinded his way to literally the top of his profession with one of the most unlikely juggernauts in college football history. You're not going to convince that man that he ever had it easier than anybody else, because all he knows is how hard it was that he had it. So we're like, when you try to explain to Dabo, like, hey, man, you know, black people get a tough shake. He's like, yeah, well, I got a tough shake, but me and Jesus, we in America, and look at what it was that we made happen. Like, that's the kind of guy that he is going to be. At the same time, what I think happens with him, though, is he's also a dude from the for real deal South. So it's not like he's going to be able to pretend as though he doesn't know about like day to day interactive racism that people have and deal with. And so this thing happens at his practice, and the coach, apparently the way he says it, he heard the guy saying the N-word, and somehow in all his years of coaching, nobody told him the rules. They can say it. You can't say it, not even if you're trying to sound like them. But here he comes all over here, and he's like, oh, N-word in this. And it shook the players up, right? The player in question, the guy named DJ Greenlee, He said he eventually had to forgive, but it was a thing for him in the moment when it happens. The guy that outed him about this is a kid named Canyon Tuttle. His father played at Clemson. He put this out on Twitter, and the point that he made was Dabo didn't even make the dude apologize to the whole team. They said he apologized to his position group, and then in a statement he put out a couple of days ago, he apologizes to the whole team. If you are Dabo Swinney and this is your squad, how do you not understand and see your players and recognize that this is a thing that's going to be important to them? And if you run a shop that's based on accountability, how can that guy then not be accountable in that moment? To me, that reads like somebody who intentionally puts his head in the sand when matters of race come up because he just doesn't want to deal with the trouble. You can't be the man that you purport to be and be the man that you are if you just want to avoid trouble. If you want to talk about Jesus all the time, that is fantastic because I think he does that for legitimately positive reasons. But you can't keep telling us about Jesus if you're not willing to stand for something, because it makes me wonder how much you're really listening to Jesus.
Katie, what did you make of this story as you saw it unfold? And remember, Clemson used to be something. Bomani would make fun of Clemson, laugh at Clemson. They were a verb. They were Clemsoning. That was a losing program. And with that came all of Dabo's power. And now on that platform, he likes to talk and he doesn't mind hitting his Bible and he doesn't mind telling others to be accountable. What did you make of this and what is he supposed to be doing there? Shouldn't he be speaking up on behalf of his players and apologizing in the moment for what it is that happened?
Yeah, what I keep coming back to is that we're always so quick to assign the honor of this title of leaders of young men to college football coaches. We do it all the time and we lift them up as these figures that can help lead these people towards the correct way to live their life. What we're finding is that, like, we never actually hold them accountable for that praise that we give them and that they accept every time it's heaped upon them. And this is one of those instances where if you're going to be a leader of young men and a significant percentage of those young men are black men, then it's your responsibility to understand their experience in life and know enough to be able to handle a situation like this, not in this way. The fact that it took the kid himself to come to the coach and let him know how he felt about that, and now they're calling him out 3 years later on the internet, that means that these kids weren't led by Dabo. They were led by other leaders within their community because something had to give them the confidence to be the people who stand up to a big college football program and make their voices heard to speak out against an injustice that was felt. That coach using that word is also just showing that Dabo isn't even leading his coaching staff. He's not making sure that everybody is doing the work to make sure they're aware of what's acceptable and what isn't acceptable on a basic level. But I think it speaks volumes to how much we expect of college coaches or just say that they are able to do and then never hold them accountable for actually doing it.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Coming back later this summer, the NBA with a 22-team return to play.
Ah, yes, the games, the sports news that we get to talk about the 13 seeds in the West and the 9 seeds in the East. But here it arrives, games being played soon. It's a confusing time, okay? I don't know what to do with the fact that we've been hiding in our house for 10 weeks. Everyone's supposed to be apart from each other, but now not anymore. Now we're all together, and we can't fill a stadium to watch these playoff games. Regardless, games are coming without fans. You have to be excited about that. I do think that one of the things that's going to be difficult is it's going to feel like practices or AAU games if you don't actually have crowds there. They're not going to feel like playoff games, but what are the things about this format that interest you, Bomani?
All right, so you say it's 13 seeds in the West and 9 seeds from the East, which sounds a lot like to me, damn it, Zion going to play in this. Like, they are going to make sure. This seems to be the NBA trying to find a balance between making this interesting and also remembering that it has to count, because a legacy is going to be made, solidified, reformed by whoever wins the championship this year. They need, for legacy reasons, to make sure that it counts. They brought a lot of stuff up that's going to be making it easy to say on the back end that this doesn't really count, because they're trying to figure out how to replicate home court advantage. And they got all kinds of stuff that they want to do that I can't even itemize because they all sound so silly.
How about you, Katie? What are you intrigued about here?
Yeah, definitely what Bo mentioned is that they're talking about ways to replicate home field advantage. And it is one of those things we've seen with other leagues and discussions about coming back, is how they're going to make this clearly outlier of a season feel like a regular season so that the end results don't have an asterisk next to them when we look back on it in history. And it's funny. It's very funny to watch teams clamor for something that resembles what it was before, but obviously is a little different because it has to be. And some of the options they're throwing out for home field advantage is that the home team would get to stay at the nicer hotel. Not that I think there's any hotels on the Disney resort that aren't the nicest, best hotels in the world. There's also, being able to designate a player on the home team that gets to have an extra foul. I think there's coaches getting an extra timeout or something. There's so many. I think what they should do is take the away team and make them have to all get on a bus and circle a certain amount around the resort before they can go to the game. So it's like they traveled and they had to come from far away. Nice. Good home field advantage that can't be replicated. You don't need fans for that. Just make them take a trip to nowhere in order to get to that's the answer.
We don't have any more time, but if you want more illumination, The Right Time with Bomani Jones is a podcast where you will find the best racial discussions in the history of this network. And also Katie Nolan. I don't mean to say
skip
that
it.
Hers
no,
aren't
just skip
as good.
It. You can skip my podcast Katie Nolan's for a week. Go listen to Bomani's podcast.
Sports with a question mark? Should sports be what we're talking about? With a
I mean, that's kind of what everybody's podcast is this week, is sports with a question mark.
Why can't they just have all the mascots? Because I feel like mascots, you're not going to touch anything. You're in a suit. You can have a mask on. You're not going to get within six. Why don't they just have all the mascots?
It's not really worth the risk, Katie, to bring the mascots for crowd ambiance.
I don't know. I think it is. Imagine a crowd full of just random mascots. Imagine that King Cake baby